hit record. I've been sitting here deciding whether or not I should record or not. I'm at home, not at the beach, and I don't know, it's been a minute, and I guess I've mentioned this before, not recording, not doing these episodes sort of contributes a little bit to my sadness, and recording these brings me joy. Wow, I put that in literally in a form that a 7-year-old would understand. How are you guys? This is episode God knows what. I had 50 rules of stoicism. On top of that, I had a bunch of other episodes, so we should be close to 100 of these. Why are we so obsessed with metrics and numbers? So ridiculous. Why does it matter what episode we're on? I mean, we're on this episode. That's all that matters. We're in this moment. You're listening to it at this particular moment. I'm recording at this particular moment. And that's all that matters. Your effort and your power relies only, can only be applied in this moment. So here we go. Wow, where do I begin, right? Like, it's been a minute. I don't even know the last time I recorded an episode. I wonder if the episode dates are on Spotify when you pull up a podcast. But yeah, it's been a few months, I would say, right? And, you know, I mean, you know, you know, what do you know? I don't know what you know, but you know, you know what I'm going to say. I guess what I'm trying to convey in this episode is, I guess, going from a fear-based life to a love-based life, how do you get there? Well, I think I'm listening to Alan Watts, and Alan, I could like to call him Alan because Alan and I are, we understand each other. He's on a different part of the spectrum, but yeah, we are in the same rainbow, if you will. Did that make sense at all? But he made me realize that, he made me realize certain things. Like, there's this thing I just heard. I just listened to his video. Wow, I hope I can get a coherent thought here out. But I'm listening to one of his videos, There's Nothing Left to Do but Let Go. And I think 5 minutes into it, he says something so insanely profound that I've been aware of, but not enough maybe, sort of aware of. So let's just listen to it. And yeah, if you're ready to be blown away, check this out. Let me see if I got the...
Because if you get hung up on the...
Okay, I went not far enough. I think it's... Okay, I think this is it.
Which doesn't have to be a deliberate response. A response of a no deliberating mind is a response of a Buddha mind or an unattached mind. But you must not imagine that this is necessarily a quick response. Because if you get hung up on the idea of responding quickly, the idea of quickness will be itself a form of obstruction. Very often when Dr. Suzuki is up...
Did you guys catch that? When you try to respond quickly to someone, like someone says good morning and you're trying to respond quickly, then quickly becomes the obstacle to responding. I don't know if that makes sense to you, and I'm not sure if I explained it correctly. You might have to listen to the whole video to get, you know, the context. But it's, I don't know how to explain it. Like, it's so genius. It's so true. It's insanely true. Here's the thing. I guess it hit me hard because I've been, you know, I act. And by the way, I don't think I've shared this with you guys. I got my first professional acting gig. So it's just a court show. Everybody gets to be on there. But nonetheless, I got paid, so that makes me a professional actor. So, and I'm going to get, you know, all that IMDb credits and all that stuff. So, yeah, so that's kind of cool. Anyhow, so I guess bringing this to something that makes a lot of sense to me, acting is one of those perfect examples of this statement of his, which is, if you act, the acting stands in the way of performing. You cannot act in acting. That's like the one lesson that I've learned. You cannot act in acting. It's like the moment you act is the moment it's not real. The moment it's not, you know, acting is not real. Anyway, that's not what I mean. The moment you act is the moment your performance is not genuine. It's not, it doesn't come across as good. It becomes like one of those fake daytime drama shows acting. So acting becomes the obstacle, if you will. And so the only way to act well, like in, you know, I'm talking about acting as in drama acting, is to not act. So the first thing to do is to not achieve a goal, to not to read your lines, to not do any of those things. It's to do nothing. And that's your baseline. And then sort of let the subconscious do the work for you. Damn, how am I not getting paid for this? Wow. Getting paid, talking about that. It would be nice if I get an income coming in. It's been 6 months since I came back for Bahrain for the teaching job. I haven't found a job here, and I'm just so hesitant to get just a minimum wage job. I don't know, it just scares me. Maybe I just need to do it. It just scares me because it's two things. One is the money is not enough. Like, it's just not. It's just, this is a ridiculous thing that we have in our society where minimum wage is not really the minimum to survive. It's like, it's not. Like, you can't have one minimum wage job and live in a decent, clean, safe apartment and have a car and just the bare minimum, be able to eat and, you know. Like, it's just, that's ridiculous. I think minimum wage should be, if you get a minimum wage job, you can afford a decent place in a safe neighborhood with transportation, decent reliable transportation. That should be the minimum, right? That's, the pay should be based on that. So I'm in this place where, like, you know, I ran out of unemployment money. I'm panicking, I'm freaking out, and I have a little bit of savings left. I have to borrow money to buy a car. Well, that's a whole nother story. I cannot wait to share that with you guys. It's an exciting story, sort of, getting the car, getting rid of the old one, which was like, oh, thank God I got rid of it. I did not realize how much stress came just for having that stupid-ass car. Anyhow, what was I saying? Yeah, so now I'm in this place where I need to make money, and, you know, there's part of me that does, naively, maybe not naively, I don't know, would like to think that I can make money, or I would love to make money doing something I love. I hate being miserable. Ever since my first job, I've never been a type of guy that just grinded through the job to make the paycheck and sort of like all these tough stories you hear of immigrants coming to this country, working their ass off and getting their kids somewhere, you know, amazing. That's awesome. I've never done that. I mean, I am an immigrant, the child of immigrants, really. I wasn't the adult making the decision to migrate, but thank God we did. But my point is, I never was that hard worker, shut up, do your job type thing. I've been miserable with every job that I had. I hate jobs. Like, I don't want to, well, I sound like a spoiled idiot, right? I guess the idea of a job is so crazy to me. Like, I think that in the future, well, it's the whole idea of, like, you have to be there 9 to 5, and you have to do it because your survival is on the line. Like, if you don't do it, which is not true, by the way. I do think, especially now more than ever, it's not true. There's other ways to survive. But you have to satisfy somebody else's ideals and about what's good and what's right, your boss, right? Like, you have to, like, they are sort of, like, in charge of you. You are just, yeah. I don't want to use the wrong word here, but, you know, your boss is in charge. You have to make them happy, go with their system, even though you are different. You have a different mindset. You're a different person. But you have to do what they say. And then, so now you go, and then after a while, you just go numb because you need the money, and your boss, even though your boss is asking you for stupid ways of doing things, asking you to do things in their way, which doesn't feel right with you, you have to do it because how else are you going to pay the mortgage? How else are you going to pay the car payment? How else are you going to, then if you have, God forbid, maybe not God forbid, but you get the point, you have kids and you have to take care of them. So now you're an extra, extra good worker, because, if you will, in quotes, because you, sorry, I'm over here doing chores while doing this podcast, getting my coffee, got a, in my French press, staying away from Starbucks, of course. I'm getting the generic kind these days, free Pally. Where did Pally come from all of a sudden? I was like, you watch, it's the internet is so fast, like, it moves on so fast. Like, if you don't watch TikTok for one day, you come back the next day, they introduced a new term. So it was from Free Palestine to now Free Pally. Pally is the new way of saying Palestine. So anyhow, back to being, okay, I'm just going to say it. What am I doing? You're a slave to the system. That's what I'm trying to say. A slave. It sounds dumb. I sound like one of those dumb, stupid, new generational, Gen Z, spoiled, delusional, and I'm not even Gen Z, I'm 40 years old, for God's sake. But it's, doesn't mean it's false. Like, it sounds ridiculous, and it sounds delusional, and it sounds very idealistic, but I was never happy having a boss and having to do things their way. Like, let me explain something to you. So I'm going to share something with you guys that I've never shared with you guys. I'm kidding. I think I have shared it with you guys. So I had a gig, a software development gig with Lightstorm Entertainment. Well, it was employment, actually. It wasn't a gig. It was actual employment. I guess it was contract-based work, but it was employment. So it was with Lightstorm Entertainment, which is James Cameron's movie production company. So we worked on the Avatar movie series. And at that job, I was a back-end software developer programming in Java. And so many dad jokes coming to mind right now. But please, God, don't allow me to make super bad jokes. So what I was going to say is, so at that job, on paper, this job was the best job on the planet. I was starting to get into acting, and I got this offer from James Cameron's company, and I didn't talk to him, by the way. I think I've only seen him once, and I think I saw him by the elevator, and that's it. And anyway, so I'm excited. I go start the job. I think on the second day or so, I look out the window. I'm like, I'm supposed to get briefed. I'm supposed to get some training. And I see fucking Thomas walking. Now, I don't know. Actually, at the time, I didn't know his name. But there was this guy, because I had just graduated coding boot camp. And at the coding boot camp, everybody was cool with me. Every single person at that boot camp was saying hi, was like friendly and had a good time, and but there was this one guy that was just had an issue with me, and
I don't even know how to describe him, honestly. And in this story, he becomes, eventually turns out to be the devil. So anyhow, I look out the window and I see him walking. Or I think I see him walking. Like, honestly, it was very hard to see. Like, very hard to, like, figure out. Because it was just like, I saw part of him and then he disappeared behind bushes or cars or something like that. I don't know. And my heart dropped. I'm like, there's no way in the universe that this is happening. There's like I was like, I couldn't believe it. From all the people that were there at that boot camp, there was like maybe 90 people there. There's no way this guy is going to get hired. The one guy that I don't get along with. And sure enough, he shows up. My boss didn't even announce it that, oh, we're getting another hire. Like, he hired me the day before or whatever, and then he hired him. And he's there. And my heart dropped. I'm like, you've got to be fucking kidding me. Like, this guy? And this story, I don't know if I should talk about it on this episode. I don't really want to, I guess. I sort of want to move on from it, but it becomes so interesting. Long story short, so I'm going to make this long story that could be an episode into a short, I don't know, social media friendly audio bite, which is, long story short, working for James Cameron was a nightmare, and it was just 10 hours in a room, small room, very hot, six people, bunch of servers or computers there, no windows, have to be there for 10 hours, one lunch break, and what's that called? It was just shitty. It was just like, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. My guess, what I was trying to say is, like, jobs are shitty because of that. You have to be there for 10 hours artificially, even if you're done with your work, etc. It's just so, like, nightmarish. It's like, because you have to do something that, like, doesn't make any sense. Your body resists, your mind resists. It's like, no, I could be doing something, like, at least more enjoyable, you know, relaxing. But, like, I couldn't even, like, go outside to read for 10 minutes. Like, sometimes I like to, like, because it's 10 hours too much with one break. Like, I needed to go out and just, you know, sit by the tree and read a little bit. Oh, I love that stuff. And like, my boss would come out and check on me, like, in a very, I don't know, sleazy way. And it was just felt so shitty. So, anyhow, all my job experience were sort of like that. My last job, I got my last 9-to-5 job, not my teaching one. Teaching one, my boss was awesome. That rarely happened. The job itself was a little bit stressful, but it was all good. It wasn't, I guess, the worst thing. But anyway, they asked me to go back, by the way. That's, I guess, at some point I was going to mention that. So they want me to go back to Bahrain, which I don't want to go. I'm too domesticated. Anyhow, I sat there on that for like a good few seconds. What was I going to say? So 9-to-5, what was going to go with that? It's just, there's something about it that just doesn't feel right. I know, like, if an old school guy would listen to this, obviously no one is listening to this, no listeners, so I just have to pretend like I have an audience, but imagine, like, I imagine, like, an old school dude with traditional values listening to this, he's probably getting furious, like, look at this guy, yeah, I'm over here this hard work. What? I can't even come up with something to say next. When does that ever happen? Anyhow, I guess what I'm trying to say is I'm working so hard here. I'm putting food on the plate for my family. I'm paying the mortgage, blah, blah, blah. And I just shut up and do the job. And this guy can't even fucking hold a job. Just doing a podcast. Completely delusional, makes no money, no audience member, but yeah, this guy is the epitome of what's wrong with the new generation. And again, I'm not the new generation. I'm 40 years old, for God's sake. So, yeah. Anyhow, so I already shared some of the news I was going to share on this episode. One is my Boston Bahrain reached out. They might start a June 6th cohort. It is March 16 right now. I'm praying that something else will come up before then that I don't have to go. I'm just not doing well overseas and in the Middle East, and so it's just not my thing. And so I'm hoping something else will materialize here in the States. Sorry guys, what am I doing here? I'm messing with my browser here. I'm sitting in front of my computer. So I shared one good news. Well, that's one news. Another news is I got my first acting job, which I told you guys, it's something that everybody gets. It's not something that was tough to get. Any actor can be on a court show, which, by the way, I did not know was played by actors. So that was an experience too. Like, honestly, this, I go there, I'm in my usual super nervousness mode, which is like, if I go into that, which is anytime I go to any public place and I'm not high or buzzed, maybe that's the reason why I drink and smoke, is because my anxiety level in public is insane, and like I just shut down, like I can't operate. So I go there and my usual anxiety kicks in, because it's a movie, not movie, it's a show, production set, blah blah blah. But long story short, I did it. I fucking did it. You know, it was the worst. Like, it felt like the worst day starting the day. It wasn't like excitement. Oh my God, I get to do this. It was more like, I don't know how the hell I'm gonna get through this. You know, and I did. So, you know, the producer met me there. So there's a few guys that talked to me, give me advice, ran a few lines, blah blah blah. A few improvisation exercises, blah blah blah. So anyhow, you can tell they were nervous about me and the other actor. Both of us were new. The other guy was a train wreck, and I thought I was nervous. Actually, you know what? I'll be back. Hold on 1 second. Okay, I'm back. For you, it was less than a second. For me, it was, well, you don't want to know. What's up with drinking, having two sips of coffee, and then that shit comes knocking? Like, it's like right there. I'm looking at my mug right now, and I'm not joking, it you can barely tell somebody drank out of it. And as soon as I had those few sips, yep, like, it's so weird, like, you have to go. Anyhow, sorry for the TMI. I apologize. Where were we? And the better question is, does it even matter? Was it so important that it needed to be finished? Well, if I had an audience and I had like one person in the audience that was like really into that, whatever I was on, weird tangent that I was on, they're probably thinking, damn it, I really wanted to know the end of that. Well, sorry, you don't get to know the end of whatever I was on. Well, if I don't have that, then what do I have to talk about, right? Good things are happening. I guess that's really the main theme here. Oh, I got another car. Is there anything, like, one realization I'm having? I'm 40 and I just got this. You guys will not believe it. I was gonna borrow $15,000 from my mom to get a car, my friend, get a cosigner, blah blah blah. I don't have the money or credit to get to get money or the car, so I needed help, and ended up settling for $5,000 for my mom instead of $15,000, because she would have to borrow money from my aunt, which I don't want to do, obviously. And so trying to find a decent car for $5,000, you know, forget about it. But sure enough, I cannot believe this happened. I found this awesome. Well, so far I can't tell if it's true or not. I don't want to, like, you know, like, I hope it is what it is, what it seems like it is. I ended up buying the same exact Lexus that I had after college, that I bought like newish 2007 ES350, and it's like a really good condition, and it's just, I'm just so happy. And then I'm thinking about joy. I'm thinking about happiness, and I'm thinking about, a Ferrari at 40, with a house and private jet and all that, seems like heaven. And it must feel amazing. I wouldn't know. But I do know this, that getting this car, the joy of it, like it's your first car. Remember when you first got, you got your first car and stuff? That is truly the best moment that we should be valuing and cherishing. And it shouldn't be the Ferrari moments. It shouldn't be the ones that we post on Instagram. Look, I made it. I'm successful. My life is amazing. Type moment. It's really those first car type feelings and moments that is everything about life. And we always try to recapture it, and we butcher it, and we destroy it, and we kill it, because we're trying to reenact it in so many ways. You see it on social media all the time. And we just can't do it. And so what I'm trying to say is, I had a genuine first car purchase experience, and like, it feels amazing. I'm very grateful. I look at that car and it's like it has I get similar feelings to when I first got my first car. And I remember the excitement of that. It was a Ford Taurus gold one. And I remember just washing it all the time. And that's one thing that, like, when you get your first car and you're so happy about it, so excited, you just, like, take care of it like crazy. And so, that just made me think about something else. About people, some kids that I know that got their first car and just... I'm not getting that experience at all. They've destroyed their car. Wow. I feel so bad for some people, because they just go through life in such a sloppy way that they miss out. So anyhow, what else? What other good news are there? I felt like there was a few. Bahrain, the car, the acting. So I don't want to say things that are in the works, haven't been, have not materialized yet per se, at a concrete level. So I'm not going to share those things. I shouldn't. So yeah, I'm on dating apps. I mean, that's a fact. Muslim dating apps, more specifically, which I never thought I would be, but I figured, why not? But some of these profiles, come on, ladies, you can do better. Like, seriously, you can do better. Are you kidding me? Like, some of the most corny, cliche lines you can possibly think of, they put that on their dating profile. I'm like, ugh. And sometimes they could be good-looking women, and, like, they put something super corny. I'm like, ah, pass. Anyhow, I love you guys. Thank you for listening to my imaginary thousands, if not millions, of listeners. Completely imaginary, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't. Like, this is something I would do for an audience or without an audience. Yeah. Anyhow, I love you guys. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Again, no audience. If some point somebody does join, stumbles upon this, it's probably not going to be St. Patrick's Day. But tomorrow's St. Patrick's Day. It's Ramadan. Happy Ramadan. Shit, I just gave away I'm drinking coffee during Ramadan. What are the chances my mom listens to this? Love you guys. Love you. Take care. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being there. Thank you for being part of this weird circle. But I love you guys, and stay strong, keep going, and don't overthink. Just have faith, you know, work towards your dreams, do things that bring you joy. Be kind to yourself. There is no such thing as mistakes. I took off 3 weeks from the gym, and it feels like I fell off the wagon. It's very hard to get back into it. But you just got to do what you got to do on that day, independent of what happened in the past. So just go back to the gym if the same happens to you. Just put one foot in front of the other. Do your best. You don't have to do the full workout if you don't want to. But just keep going. You know, take care of yourself. Love yourself. Go have some fun. Go watch a movie at the movie theater. Go to a comedy show. So talk to you later. Thank you.